Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We are all believers, and Alhamdulillah, we are Muslim, and our religion is Islam, which means aman, peace, and safety. And whoever enters into Islam, he is not himself just peaceful, rather, additionally, people are safeguarded by that person, or are under the safety of that person. So when a person comes into Islam, then that person himself is peace, and he himself is safe, and he's so safe that he's not afraid now or fearful that somebody will hit me, somebody will kill me, somebody will beat me, somebody will take my money, somebody will oppress me, somebody will take my rights, somebody will take possession of my home illegally, somebody will illegally take my land, somebody will steal my car, somebody will disrespect me, somebody else will dishonor me. In other words, a person comes into Islam, he is totally safe from all evil and negatives in life and society. Before, he used to wander around with problems and worries. Oh, you know, this person may loot me, this person will do this to me, he's going to say this to me. But when a person comes into Islam, then his life is full of peace. A person standing at his shop working, and the adhan is called, the call to prayer, there's no guard there, and he's not worried about anyone, he's not afraid. Rather, he just leaves the shop and all of the stock, and he walks to the masjid and leaves behind all his possessions. And this is Islam. This is the name or definition physically of Islam. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bought this deen of Islam, and this was aman, peace. Not 1 year, not 2 years. Not one person on his own lived this life, but more than 100,000 companions were the example and the misal. Were they not? Where has all of this gone? Think about it. Where has all of this gone? Whoever comes into Islam, what does he become? A person that emanates peace, and himself or herself, they are under the banner of safety. Person says, we are Muslims, we are not under any danger. For example, a person comes to such a city where he looks around, there's no one arguing, there's no facade, there are no problems, there are no disputes, and he's sleeping with the house, the doors open, and there's no problem, there's no threat. There was a generation, isn't it? That, for example, people are sleeping and there's gold and silver and jewels on the floor in the person's house. Nobody would come and say anything or do anything. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam brought this Islam to us. This is the life he gave. That whoever comes into Islam is peace himself and also under safety. The door's open, the mal is there, the wealth is there, your money's there, and there's no guard, there's nobody, no security. And now, if one person is outside going and there's a gunman, he's got 4 gunmen, and even then he gets attacked. Even then that person, the poor soul, dies. And where does he die? Under the banner of Islam. Those people are protecting him in the name of Islam. And who are the people who are killing? They're saying that we are in the boundary of Islam. Is this jais? Does the akal accept this thing for a moment here? That what a big joke against Islam. A big joke against Islam. So are we Muslim? Are we exercising Islam? We have entered into Islam. We've entered into Islam, so we are safe. And we emanate safety. And people should be safe from us, safeguarded by us. Subhanallah. Those people used to say before, oh, beware of this person, he's a fraudster, or he's a thief, don't go near to him. Or he'll kill you, or he'll beat you, or he hits people, he beats people, he destroys people. Save yourself from him. And when the person comes into Islam, they say, oh, please look after my amana, please look after my treasures, I'm going for 10 years, please look after my wife and my children, and all of this money I'm handing over to you to safeguard. And no need to write anything or anything. Why? Because he knows that this person is in the boundary of Islam. And the second condition of Islam is what? The people should be safe from the hands of that person who's the Muslim. So that same tongue that used to swear at people, or backbite against people, or say bad to people, or always used to discuss evil things and impure things, that same tongue, the same mouth now, it utters words of du'as for people, prayers for people, and it recommends good things for people, and it protects people, and it worries about people. The same tongue, the same mouth, it recites kalimats for people, prayers for people, and good intentions for people. Look at the difference. How dare a person who's a Muslim, his hands before when he entered into Islam, he used to do bad for people and take rights away from people, and now his hands were raised and used to help people, assist people. Subhanallah. So look how a person who's a believer, how can he use his hands to give loss to someone else, or his eyes to give loss to someone else? How can he use his tongue to give loss to someone else? How can he use his body to give loss to somebody else? How? Why? Because here, Islam is giving us an ajeeb and a unique praise. It's showing a stage. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that here we look at peace and safety at the extreme, that nowhere in Islam will you get loss or negativity or danger or threat. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that where there's the break in the ties, then join it. Because subhanAllah, so this is not the kamal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what is the kamal? We are Muslims, we are believers, and we are following the deen that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, and we follow the Quran and believe in the Quran that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to us, and we believe in Allah, and we are those who desire Jannah, paradise, and we want to be those who run into paradise. And our shan, our status is high. It's not that somebody says salam to us and you have say salam to him. If somebody turns his face away from you, then go to that person and make him happy with you. If someone says bad to you, say salam to that person. If somebody throws shoes to you, then open the doors for that person. This is the shan, the glory of a Muslim, the quality. And this is how the heart should be reformed. And this is what is said as this person has entered into Islam. Entered into Islam, isn't it? Now, if this Islam is there, practically, and we are demonstrating this, then I consider that -1% even cannot even go into paradise if we exercise and demonstrate this Islam. If we look according to this day and age, that we'll get many forms of ibadah and worship, and prayer, and beautiful adhan, and they have rhythmical tones in people's recitation, and people have mihrab, the sign of prostration on their foreheads. But within the billions, you'll not see one person. Maybe in the millions, you won't see one person who has this quality and attribute. Am I right or am I wrong? This is the situation. Why? Because Islam, the foundation of Islam, the strongest foundation, and on top of which all of the ibadat come. You know these words I'm discussing, this is not a speech, it's a majlis gathering of tazkiyah, and we are trying to recognize our manzil, our destination. So let's not stay in this self-deceit, oh, I've done this, and I did this, and I've achieved this. No. We have come here to become good human beings. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, I will tell you his statement, that we desire we become good human beings. There's no other objective. We want to become good human beings. Thousands of times you will hear this hadith from the ulama ikram that I'm mentioning today. So this is the subject of our life. That's the subject. Nothing more than that. A mu'min with another mu'min. This is our subject. There's no other subject in the whole Quran. There's no other word, no other point, no other subject. We will talk about stories and events. But the subject of a mu'min is to earn the goodness in the hereafter through the goodness in this life. That's why I request to explain to myself, moreover, the shaitan and nafs, that gives a lot of falsehood and false sort of guarantees to a human being. No, everything is fake. All of the ibadat, all of the worship. For example, if you take all of the apples and you squeeze them, what will come out? The juice. And it will be called apple juice. And you won't say, oh, it's mango juice, etc., orange or citrus, or it doesn't matter what fruit you bring. What's the machine? It's the pulp-like machine, isn't it? The pulp, the juicer machine. Because does anyone drink? Everyone drinks, but we don't have the machine that makes it. So when you place that fruit and the pulp in that machine, then all of the juice will come out of the bottom. Juice will come out, isn't it? The juice, subhanAllah. So all of the ibadah, if we take all of the worship actions and the name of the machine is Islam and put all the worship into the machine of Islam, all of the worship, and you squeeze it, what will come out of the bottom? Uswaya hasana. Yeah, this is what will come out. The good conduct. a person after worshipping and practicing and making effort and no juice comes out, and the milk comes out, will say, this is not juice. I squeeze this, and this is our hal. Bring this salah, this ibadah, dhikr and practice. And when we'll squeeze the juice out, the juice won't come out. It will become kanjus, the stingy person. There's nothing there. Burnt out. Empty, devoid. All the ibadah we perform, and when we squeeze it out, what should come out at the bottom? The husni akhlaq, excellent manners. Your tahajjud, you pray it, it should make and build and increase your good manners and behavior. That tahajjud is great. If you do dhikr, and you're doing good dhikr, and it emanates in positive behavior, then that's good dhikr. If you're reading Quran, and it's improving your akhlaq, then that Quran is higher. You're not going to put that down low, are you? The subhanAllah, when you recite, the angels take the Quran you recite onto their wings and take it to the heavens. They say that this Quran will be a witness for him, Allah. This person who's reciting, he thinks it's a waste of time. That when you recite and you read Quran, you think, yeah, you've gone somewhere else and the wood is gone. No, Baba. Allah Ta'ala, my friends, has arranged. Rather, the person with good conduct, manners and behavior, when he reads the Quran and he gets to the verses of akhlaq and action, and he sways towards the practice. This is called amal. And this is the hafid. Isn't it? When he reads the Quran, and for example, he will not allow the verses to be wasted. The angels don't allow the verses to be wasted, and they wrap those verses in the beautiful wrapping cloth, and they take it on their wings, and they take it up to Allah, and they put it in the treasure chest, that Allah, we are the witnesses. When this man comes, the angels will be so happy. They will say that this Allah is the man who recited this Quran. Listen to what he recited, and we collected it, and we brought it here. Subhanallah. So much ilm we are wasting. So much knowledge we are wasting. So many salah we are wasting. So much effort we are wasting. And we are so waste of time, people, because we have not understood the message of Islam. Let's look at this point. Uswa'il husna. Uswa'il husna. If we pray salah, we want forgiveness. Ramadan has come, prayer, we want forgiveness. Oh, you gain umrah, do dua for me, I get forgiven. Oh, this has happened today, this is the event today, do dua for my forgiveness. And Allah Ta'ala, what does Allah Ta'ala say to us in response? Listen carefully. Allah Ta'ala says that if an individual, listen to this hadith, we should listen to this hadith. If an individual goes to another human being and fulfills his jais desire, then straightway I forgive that person. So here Allah Ta'ala says, open field of forgiveness until today. You know when the people of this day and age stand, I will say, forget a few, even minus 1% will be the minus, will be forgiven for this reason that Allah Ta'ala has announced, that you should be forgiven for your excellent behavior. Don't pray tahajjud, don't pray voluntary actions and prayers and nafil. Allah says that make this your life objective to assist others, fulfill their desires, and you will be forgiven. In the morning, person prays fajr. Yes, so today, a great, great ibadah person who does ibadah worship, he comes out after praying fajr, he says, I'm the worshipper, get back, no one can beat me, I'm better. From morning till evening, from this Ramadan to that Ramadan, hands up, who has gone to another human being and fulfilled the positive good desire of a permissible desire of another human being? Let's make an announcement in this town, in this village. Very few people will there be who've made an effort to fulfill the desire and the requirements of others. I will say, from Ramadan till now, we've kept many fasts and done ibadah. Is there any one individual until now gone out of his way and gone to fulfill the permissible and rightful desire and requirement of another person? Have we done this? Why not? Have we asked people, what are your desires, what are your needs, what are your requirements? We say we don't need to do this, because the desire is in the heart. We are so selfish that we are worried about ourselves too much. We tell others our own stories. Salaam alaikum alaikum, how are you? Oh, I've got problems, difficulties. He has even started to speak to you. Oh, I've got issues, I've got hardships, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to do this and that. The other person, that he will be in more distress than him. What does Islam say after shaking hands? Then ask, how are you? How is your life? Are you okay? And this is what used to happen in Suraiki, where two people are sitting, and I'm speaking about discussion here in the Sindh side. Suraiki was the dialect, that's where I lived. So what would be the culture? You take the hand of the other person, and ajeeb, beautiful manners and relationship and conduct. The elders, you take your hand, assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, sit down there, oh, hello, how are you? In other words, tell me, how are you? Sit down. Explain to me. He says, this is my hal, this is my hal. And he's asking, he's not worried about himself, the person who's speaking. Asking, okay, tell me your hal, your condition for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He would listen to the other person's hal. And when he's speaking about his hal, his problems and worries and issues, then obviously the person, he assists the other person. Or he advises the other person. This is the culture, isn't it? Did we give any culture? We don't even give 3 minutes to another person. We don't ask anyone. I've not asked anybody. Maybe have you asked anybody about the issues? Or help they need? Question does arise. We go to the masjid. The masjid is that place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask that you went into my home, the masjid. Why? To pray salah. Allah said, this is a social center. It's a social place. Isn't it? So here you should meet each other, say assalamu alaikum to each other, speak to each other, ask each other how you are, and mend the broken ties, and ask people, how are you? Are there any problems? Is there anything I can do for you? Until today, a Muslim will not say to another Muslim, that can I serve you? Or there's some work going in your house, shall I come? Shall I help you? And we'll run away. Oh, don't let him grab me. He's going to ask me for help. You know, oh, there's work going on in his house, and he's one, and there's two, and I'll go at the back exit. Oh, he's going to speak to me, I'm going to get stuck. And he'll know that the plumber, that he's going to tell me to do other things. And when we listen, the person's prayed salam, we hear his stories, we think that, oh, maybe this was Bayezid Bastami, that he's changed his appearance. He thinks he's so pious. Yeah, so listen to the person. He doesn't ask others about their issues and problems, rather he talks about his own taqwa and piety. We are Muslims, and we have entered into Islam. I said this in the beginning, isn't it? We have entered into Islam. And Islam is aman, peace. The deen, religion of peace and safety. The person who's entered into Islam is at peace himself, is safeguarding himself, and he himself safeguards others. This is what should be our characters, O Sufis, and this will assist us and benefit us. Dhikr, adhkar, that's why we do it. So the heart can be corrected, made positive, to assist others. The wali Allah, the friends of Allah, and I recognize Allah through the akhlaq of the friend of Allah. Ourselves, we're hungry. Yeah? He was hungry himself, and he gave the milk and the curd to others. He had poverty, and he gave chapatis and bread to other people. Can you imagine this? Severe hunger, but feeding other people. My sheikh. So my brothers, what's the point here? That a person who's a Muslim, that he is safe, no one can pester him, and he himself doesn't pester. He says, I'm safe. And people who are non-Muslims, they come. A Sikh comes or a Hindu comes. He says that, tell me about Islam. They've read the books. They've seen people. And there are many people like this. Many events like this that we hear about and see. That you will see. That they get confused. That we read something else about Islam. And this practice of your Islam, your physical practice, is opposite to that. Many people have heard and seen that. I can tell you already, the other day on Thursday, I told you one or two events. I told you about the window cleaner. I'll tell you another story about a window cleaner. Isn't it? You think, where are these events coming from? Okay, that window cleaner, he ran off. And because our window stopped being cleaning, he ran away from our street. He said that the Muslims are thieves. They're not going to pay me. So I'll tell you another story of another window cleaner. And this is just 2 days ago. Listen to this. And see the akhlaq of the Muslim behavior and conduct manners. He was very close to my door, and he stopped his car right close to the house. And that my car is parked there. Can you think for a second now? That my car is parked there, and you know, you cannot even move. And no care. And he parked the car. There's space behind, in front, to the left, to the other side. And it's a double line, mine. And I'm just talking about akhlaq, that we are Muslims, mashallah. Now it's salah time, asr time, and when I came out of the house, I see now, this is a bit not normal, how can I take the car out? And I went, and there are women sat there. I said, where's your husband? My salah will pass, and you had the space, you could have parked a bit further up or behind. They said, they just sat. Okay, they say, oh, he'll come, don't worry, just don't pester us. Now, the third man, let's see him. Who we don't even think he is any of any stature or status, because we are Muslim and the whole dunya is ours, we think. We own the dunya. So that window cleaner, brother, the poor soul, he was cleaning the windows and he saw that there's an issue and I've got a problem. So he left his car and came to me. He said to me, you wanted to come out? I said, yes. He said, I know, it's the time for your prayer. And subhanAllah, and he said, your salah will go. And he was so worried about this, that he ran. And he ran to the car and he went and found that person. Then he came back. And he said, I'm looking at him, how much fikr he's got for my salah. And 3 or 4 times he went looking from one road to another street. He left his car at that point on a double yellow line. He left there. He could have had a ticket, a parking penalty. and he's got no link with me. And after that he came back. And now he couldn't understand what to do. He went to the woman who said that. He said, where's your husband? And he had to go to pray Salah, and his Salah will pass. You'll miss it. And you also are Muslim. And she's quiet. Oh, he'll come. Don't worry about it. What's happened if the prayer goes? Oh, so what if we're stopped here? He said, okay, fair enough. So now see what he said. He said, okay, here, is there a key here? He said, okay, give me permission so I can drive this car, put it to the side, and so that this person can leave from here, from his driveway. SubhanAllah, look at the character. I said, no, don't worry about it. Inshallah, I will get the rakat. So by chance, he was coming running back. Oh, what's happened? The car owner, what's happened? And then the other person, he said, you should have some care and due care and diligence. Where have you parked? He said, no, it's no problem. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. Because we are Muslims. Muslims. Safety and peace we have. We don't affect others with poor safety. We have to give peace and safety to others. Rather, we break it. Sufis don't become like this, okay? You are dhakirs. That's why I'm telling you these points. Never, for your own benefit, change your akhlaq and lower it. We need to elevate it, because Allah will ask us these things. One Muslim, to give anyone else, a human being, pain, distress, and problems? No. Not a Muslim, to every human being. He was an insan. He wasn't from my religion, the window cleaner. It's obvious. And he didn't know about prayer. He didn't know how I was so worried, but he knew that this is his religion and salah is very important for him. And he's getting pain because he can't go to his prayer. So how do I get this pain removed? And he had worry about this. He had concern. Just 2 or 3 days ago, this happened. And I thought about that man. I thought about him, that look, his good manners, his worry. And look at our akhlaq. If only we were good people like this and good human beings. Yeah, we have a village, a locality of Muslims. We can hear the adhan, the call to prayer. But look at our hal, our situation. Allah says, the luggage for forgiveness is that if you fulfill the rightful desire of a person, I will forgive you, Allah. Allah says, I will forgive you. Another hadith, I will tell you. SubhanAllah. Aha. And this hadith and narrator is Hazrat Ibn Zubayr. Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu anhum, two companions, sahabas, they narrated. Listen to this. 10,000 good deeds. 1 million good deeds. 1 million sins removed, and 1,000 levels your rank will elevate and increase, and 3 paradises will, you will get food from 3 different levels of paradise. The food will reach to you. Ah, what a great reward for one deed. What is this amal? Tell me. So 1 million good deeds to your name. 1 million sins will be removed from your accounts. 1,000 times over your rank and level will increase in paradise. And food will come to you from 3 different paradise locations. And if you will eat from one paradise, you will become unconscious due to the fullness. Jannatul Firdaus and Adan and Khudz. And the food will come packed, ready for that person. Imagine the food, the delicacies, the taste and the ikram and the respect. And what is the deed that will give us this reward? Aha, SubhanAllah. What is the amal? Everyday life action related to the stomach, to the desires, to the nafs and the desires of a human being. Imagine this. But Allah Ta'ala says that a person who turns his direction towards goodness, everyone's got desires. We've all got desires and a stomach. But slowly, slightly, we change the direction. And this is the reward that Allah Ta'ala gives to the person. But he doesn't just run after himself. He has that consideration. Allah Ta'ala says that if anybody, listen to this hadith, what a great hadith, that if a person goes to another person, or for another person, he cooks and feeds a person the food that that person likes, this is the reward that person will get. How easy is this? Tell me now. How easy is this? That you know what I like to eat, what tastes I enjoy. And a Muslim, he knows about the liking and preference of the taste buds of another person. Then look how close a Muslim is to another Muslim. That you should know about the taste and the liking of the other Muslim. What a great tie, a great relationship. That you know the depths of the heart of the other person. That what does he like to eat, for a good bond, a relationship, for the guest, for the host. Our culture teaches us is that Islam is making this permissible. Tell me, brother, what will you eat? What do you like? What shall I cook for you? Tell me what you'd like to eat. And what you like, I will cook. And upon that, Allah Ta'ala will give a big reward, a great reward. 1 million good deeds, 1 million sins removed. 1,000 times your level will increase in paradise. Allahu Akbar. And food from 3 parts of paradise, from 3 Jannah. Why? Because he fulfilled the desire of the taste of the food of another person and of another Muslim. We want to eat, we'll put so many spices in the food because we like it. We don't care about the guest. Oh, this is your da'wah, I'm inviting you, and it's my preference, I put so many spices on water and dilution, whatever, because I want to eat it like this, and I'm feeding the other person. The person who came to eat, we don't know what his taste is about. This is dhulm, oppression, not regard. So look at the mazhab, the deen, the depths of the regard for every other human being around us is so deep and broad, and an expansive deen we have. It's a very sensitive religion. And to attain paradise, this is the deen that we've been given. And such a small point, isn't it? It's not a big point. It's not even important, we think. But look at society. Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught us how to live and interact with society to exchange happiness. A person's coming to your house, a guest, and he's your guest, and you put so much spices in his food, and he's eaten, you've given him other food which he doesn't like, not good taste, and it's not good for his health or his good being, then that person becomes ill, upset, mentally upset, physically ill, and he's taking medicines, and you're happy, oh, I fed him, oh, and he owes me a favor. He's saying on the phone, oh, he came to my house, he had so much food, and I did this for him, and he ate this food. And Allah says that person's upset with you. Look at the deen of Islam. This is Islam. Because we have entered into Islam. And Islam is peace. And a Muslim is peace and safety for other people. So what we realize from here is that when an insan, when he feeds another person, then 100% he has ikhlas, sincerity and good conduct. If he's feeding the people what they like to eat, there's no making anything up, no pride, no show. Because you are cooking for the sake of that person what he likes or she likes. And this is how Allah Ta'ala has protected all human beings in the world. And I'll say, mashallah, mashallah, this is a great door that's open for the women folk. For the women, that they don't have that chance, like we go out and earn things. Allah says, I've made such paradise for the women folk. Look at the reward, and Allah's opened the door for them. Which door? Tell me. We don't know. Me and you don't know what is your preference. You don't know what is my preference. Zaid, Bakr, we don't know what each of us likes. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard, isn't it? That what's preferred, what's like, what should we give to this person, etc. And for the women, what has Allah Ta'ala said? The big door of good fortune and reward is open for the women folk. That if a woman, definitely a woman knows the likings of a husband, isn't it? Subhanallah. That if you haven't got that till today, but I'll tell you, that a woman, at least minimum, will know what her husband likes and prefers. That he's going to have spices. Does he want to have dahi palle? Does he want the dal chana? Does he want the boiled lentils? Does he want sag with the meat and spinach with meat or other foods? So every woman knows the liking of her husband if she understands. Some women, Allah Ta'ala say that, is there not one woman who knows the preference of her husband? Is one woman at least going to come who cooked for the liking of her husband? So this is ibadah. If the woman takes this as a worship action and she knows the liking, the preference of the husband, isn't it? And she takes this action that every day I am going to cook what my husband likes and I'm going to present it to him. Alhamdulillah. So much barakah is in this hadith that he's coming home, he's tired, exhausted and frustrated, and he sees, oh, it's khichdi dal. And he starts moaning, oh, what have you cooked? Oh, he starts. And when he likes the food, and there will be nice tears coming out of his eyes, and he'll tasty, and she will get Jannah, and there will be no arguments at home. Look at the nature of Islam. That it creates positive exchange of love and muhabbat. I say, subhanAllah, free of charge paradise for the women, and they'll eat themselves the good food. If you cook with your own hands, who's going to leave that food? Isn't it? So look at the path to Jannah paradise. Have you seen the path to Jannah? Subhanallah. She's crying, Jannah, I need paradise. Allah has given so many rewards. So easy is it? It's so easy, paradise. And you, what should you be doing? That when I say that whenever you go, you will get good food, inshallah. Good food. That I've given you a free, you can say, like path. Isn't it? That you will go, you'll get good food. I've given you a free path to tasty food. So if somebody knows or doesn't know, but at least the woman knows the liking of the husband. That one day you've made this, or he's going to eat the liver or the kidney. And she will get 1 million good deeds, 1 million sins removed, 1,000 levels of creation. And we, when we go, we'll get that, we'll be sat in Jannah. And that woman, where will the food come from? 3 different abodes in Jannah. Where's Zahra? Oh, 3 different dishes are coming to you from 3 parts of paradise. Because you cooked for your husband what he liked for the sake of Allah. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is the point. Akhlaq is a very great thing in Islam. But how many people demonstrate good akhlaq? How many people fulfill the desires, the good desires, the permissible desires, the rightful desires? How many of us feed other people according to their desires? How many of the women folk for a husband or for other people cook nice food according to their taste and liking? Rather, all the thawab, I think, where's the thawab going? To the takeaways. Isn't it? The husband comes from late. Oh, I've come late. Okay. Order the food from the takeaway. And he eats and she eats. And all the thawab goes where? To the takeaway. To the people who cook the food. Isn't it? So, such a great deen, a good deen we have, a great culture. Let's pay attention. How a person can attain Allah very quickly, very easily. In eating and drinking, Allah Ta'ala gives us this action as worship. Allah gives us taste and enjoyment. Understand Islam. Islam is love, love and peace and salamti and safety and aman and satisfaction and contentment. Islam equals peace, equals safety all around. What's the reason? That why don't we have this in our society? We don't have this desire in our hearts. We don't care about these things. Why? Why? What's the reason? What's the reason that our hearts have become impure? That's why our hearts are dirty and impure. We think bad things. We think dirty things. We think enmities and fighting, shaitan. We think about revenge, how to take revenge out of someone. We think about people's loss. We don't think of the good things because our hearts are dirty, impure. And this is where dhikr helps, where maraqbah, meditation, remembering Allah in the heart, silently assists. We've heard the hadith. So what will make us like this physically? Only that person whose heart is clean and pure can do these actions. Those people before us, the pious predecessors, due to tazkiyah, Rasulullah was present physically. The sahaba, they had done their tazkiyah. Because what did Allah Ta'ala first do? Tazkiyah, the sahaba's tazkiyah. Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a sahabi would come, it was such a khanqah, his style of tazkiyah, purification was so unique. What was the tazkiyah? Just one thing. The tazkiyah was so strong that Rasulullah was the foundation, the fountain of faith, blessings. And you had to do just one thing. See the blessed face of the Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba there, their hearts were clean beyond clean. They came in the state of Iman once for a second to see the blessed face of Mustafa Sallallahu. Whoever is coming and the light, it sparkled and the lights and the rays and the splashes reached to the heart. All the purity came to the heart and the statues fell and the idols fell. So now, khair, khair, khair. And as the time passes, the khair generation goes. And that's why the difficulties and trials increase. But the ummah is there. And tazkiyah is still there. So if a person doesn't do tazkiyah, now, then he wouldn't understand deen. Without tazkiyah, we cannot understand Islam. What is Quran? What is hadith? What do we need to do? Now, because we are in a generation much further away, so to make the heart now, which is essential and more severe and critical than ever before, Quran and hadith and everything is related to the heart, isn't it? So for this reason, what we need to do is we need to make our hearts positive and clean. And this is very obvious and open. Very obvious and open, isn't it? That the person whose heart is improved due to the dhikr of Allah, then all of these physical practices will automatically come into the life of the person. Love and peace and aman and safety and satisfaction and people happy with each other. This works. What does the sheikh do? He keeps on looking over the student. Is his dhikr? Is he doing dhikr properly, regularly? Is he succeeding? Is he improving? Is he becoming a better human being? The sheikh does dua. MashaAllah, the student's improving. MashaAllah. And here there can be no deception and no delusion, no fake person. Because from far the sheikh can see the murid, those people whose hearts are being improved, the sheikh can see from far that the heart is sparkling and shining. My student murid is working hard, he's trying, he's sparkling. The sheikh can see this. Yes, because there's vision of inspiration. This is a khalis, pure path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. There's no contamination here. You should think, I've come for Allah, to attain Allah and listen to and remember the principles. If you work on your heart, then automatically all the goodness will come into you. They will come into me, into you, into us. And if akhlaq doesn't come into us, you've heard the hadith and I've heard the hadith. But the implementation will be done when? When will we demonstrate excellent behavior, conduct, manners and care for other people? That's when we'll love others and care for others and assist others, when our heart is clean. When you start physically seeing these factors that I have started to love other people, I care for other people, I'm worried about other people, I care for my neighbors, I work for my neighbors, there are people who are disabled, I start to bring shopping for them, or I'm sitting free, let me see what's going on here, I start helping people without any gain or loss, without any profit or loss, and in your heart you are happy, that Allah, you are happy with me due to what I'm doing, then consider your dhikr is successful. You're thinking, and if you sing, Allah, 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 subhanAllah, tears are coming out of the eyes, and I'm a Sufi, and I'm a great believer of Allah, and you don't care about anyone else? No. This is not deen. This is a deen, practical religion. A religion, a field religion. Some things people do research and development in a laboratory, in a microscope. This is not theoretical Islam. This is a physical Islam. We see in society who is the Sufi and who's not a Sufi. And a person, you know, when he goes to buy the shopping, subhanAllah, I'll tell you. If you just go to buy meat from the meat shop, and when you go from your house until the meat shop, you will realize people know that the Sufi has come. And they will testify. This generation testifies for that person. That he's a good person. He doesn't know himself, but people testify. And he takes the shopping, goes back, and people are praising him afterwards. Oh, he's a good person. Very nice human being. He cares for others. He's soft-hearted. He's peaceful. He doesn't know he's being praised. And when this starts to occur, alhamdulillah, from behind your back, and people are saying this, alhamdulillah, then consider your dhikr is successful. Allah Ta'ala selected this person, elevated this person. His akhirah, hereafter has been made. His grave's been made. And when this is happening, and I'm taking the shopping, and after I leave with the shop, they say, oh, look at me, he's a thief. Look at his face, he's wretched. Oh, he disrespects his sheikh, and he thinks he's good. Oh, I know he's a liar. And I've seen him in prayer. And when you see a sheikh and see him, who he was bowed to, look who is his teacher, and he's disrespected teacher. What will be the hal of these people? Tell me. So the world, the people are testifying, bearing witness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that through the people of the world, physically, you don't need to look in deep dreams. Am I wali Allah? Am I close to Allah? Is my dhikr accepted? The awam, the society around us will tell us. They will testify to our, either our positive or negative. And they will be happy when they speak about the good person. Because this is not a deen to be locked down in a room. Our religion is the deen, religion of society. You've gone to buy shopping, to drive your car, go out, meet other people. You have to, alhamdulillah, spend. Go to the shops, go to the meat shop, go to the sweet shop, go to the vegetable shop, green grocery, speak to this person, speak to that person, meet somebody. A poor person's come, a rich person has come. You have relationships, interactions, likes and desires, gives and takes, wants and no wants. And this is the kamal. The person whose heart is made, every person who interacts with, whatever religion they're from, whatever sect or religion or hisab, the dunya, they're fighting, quarreling, and they are all praising though this person. This is the point. They are praising this person whose heart is made. Every person from every sect, he's ours. He's from our sect. The people in the world like this, my friends, every sect and group will say, no, he's in our group. He's a good person. And you're speaking rubbish about this person. You're wrong. So for those people, people quarrel and fight for that good person because his heart is made. Others fight for him and work for him because his dhikr is successful. And such a person whose heart is not made and he's disrespecting his sheikh, dishonoring his sheikh, and others say, look at him, he's dishonoring his sheikh. He's taken this person's money, he's done this to that person, he's done this. Oh, we know him, we know his reality. Then what will happen to that person? So there's a difference. Here is that we see whose dhikr is good. Many people ask, though, I don't know if my dhikr is successful. Am I doing it right? Is it correct? Am I good or bad? Have I reached close to Allah? Am I successful? Allah Ta'ala says, the dunya, the people in the world will tell you what you are. And if you're succeeding, look at the examples Allah Ta'ala gives. That, you know, the itar bottle fragrance, if you come into the masjid and open the lid, everybody will see that, you've applied the fragrance to yourself. Oh, nice fragrance. And some people ask, where'd you get that fragrance from? Where'd you buy it from? And he doesn't tell them because his heart isn't open. If I tell him, he'll buy some as well. Oh, Allahu Akbar. This is our character. We're stingy, miserly. So he asks, where did you get the fragrance from? Because what's the work of fragrance? To spread nice smell. Allah Ta'ala says that I spread my ashiqeen, the people who love me, and I spread the fragrance. Everybody knows that this person is a pious person. And the people in the world testify for that person. And that this is a good person, sharif, pious, respectful. Isn't it good what I'm saying? And this is dhikr of Allah. Pray that Allah Ta'ala allows us to make effort and become human beings like this. We are making effort. We do dhikr in the morning, in the evening. We do tasbihat. And we cry and we pray tahajjud. And mashaAllah, we do many actions. But this should also occur that we should feed somebody according to what he likes to eat. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. Aha. Straight away the hand comes into the armpit. Oh no, that's hard, I can't do that. I've got to hide my hands. But we realize what is the state of the heart. The person to have sharp desire that today what I'm eating, I want my brother to eat this as well. Let's see what happens today. And everyone should cook to the desire and the liking of the other person. And the person you give him dawat, an invitation, you know that I'm inviting this person, this is his taste. Today I'll have to sacrifice my desires and likings. I'll feed and cook for that person whether I enjoy it or not, whether I put less salt in, but he eats less salt, less spices. And oh, my wife, don't put the salt in today, but you eat more salt. No, don't worry about me, I know what he likes, I want to cook for him. What a moment. And this is the status of the moment. The Sahaba Ikram had, they liked each other. What a great famous event. Allah, you cannot see this in the history of mankind. And they're all there, the Sahaba, the companions, they're wounded, about to pass away. One says, here, I'm thirsty. And they run. One person goes for him and seeks water. And when he gets there, the other person says, I'm thirsty. He says, oh, don't give to me. Give to this person. When he brought the water back. And he goes to him to give him water. He says, oh, I'm thirsty. He said, don't give to me. Give to my brother. Give to my brother. And this is while they are dying. They've got wounds. They're severely thirsty. This is very difficult to look after and look out for the other person. This is not a small thing. When a person's passing away, leaving the world, he's thirsty. And that thirst is an ajeeb, severe thirst. And he ran to first person, two, three, there was about 10, 12 of them. He kept on going to each one of them. The voice would come out thirsty. And Allah's rahmah, mercy, when they passed away, when he went back to the first person, the first one had passed away. He went to the second one, he'd passed away. All of them had died and the water glass was still there. It hadn't been drank. And this is humanity, humanity. What a great example. Is there any other example in history like this of Muslims, of due care and attention and peace? And we see today, wherever there's a murder, wherever somebody's head is cut off, wherever somebody is hit or beaten, where bombs are dropped or churches are bombed, people are hanged upside down, whose name comes up? Muslim. Muslim, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That a person, they close their eyes and say he must be a Muslim. Just now the news hasn't come, the facts haven't come that this has happened in this place, nothing. Oh, he's a Muslim, he's got to be a Muslim. Imagine. How big a punishment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us due to our character. These are punishments from Allah. This is not some game. In the dunya, go to any corner of the world. Anything negative is happening. Now everywhere, like for example, we didn't know who were Muslims before. People didn't even know. But today, even if a small country, something happens, straight will be printed out. News, oh, he's a terrorist. This fundamentalist. It doesn't matter if somebody else did it. But the Muslim's name will come in first. Hindustan, India, Pakistan, any corner, country of the world, from small to big. Small to big, anywhere. Anything bad, negative, Muslim's name. Islam. And what is our deen? I am a Muslim. My religion is Islam. And Islam means salamti, peace, aman, safety. And whoever enters into Islam is peaceful and is safe himself. And he's not safe himself, but everyone around him is safeguarded. What a massive difference in the situation. May Allah Ta'ala, let's do dua to Allah, pray to Allah. And there's nothing to worry about. Allah Ta'ala is so qadir that today, this gathering, and if in the depths of our heart we say, Allah, make us good Muslims, I swear by Allah, that these few people here will have an effect on the whole world. And all of the fortunes and the lives of people change. One man goes, and the whole world, he brings them to the right path. Me and you, if we sit in, we are honest and upright Muslims. We don't need massive billions of people gathering. We say with a true heart, sincere, Allah, we need the Islam, which is the right Islam. Please allow us to enter into such Islam with the fadl of Allah, with the grace of Allah. From these same select people here, Allah will spread such asal Islam that Allah says that those people will forget the rest of them and say, ah, Islam is great. And Imam is not bad. Turban is not bad. The beard's not bad. They will love those Muslims who are demonstrating good things. And I've seen that generation. I've seen that generation. That people would stand by seeing the turbans and the beds. Wallahi, with respect. So much respect they would give. So much respect. But what do we do now? But when the zawal comes, and the sun sets, and the character sets, and it goes downhill, then Allah says, this is the hal that happens. That today, that the most disrespected and wretched, you can say, badly spoken about deen is ours, our character, our appearances. We've disrespected the Quran. We've disrespected our Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've disrespected the deen. We've dishonored the deen. Have we or not? Of course we have. Totally. And now, what do we do? That we've gone into such a negative inferiority complex that what will happen due to me, and I say guarantee today, that today from this Jamaat, if a few people are improved, like the way Islam demands and asks, I swear by Allah, that from these few select people, the whole world will become a positive place due to the effect of these people. Allah will say that due to these few select people, all of the people in the world will say Islam is great, Imamah is great. And this way Allah will spread the deen of those sincere people. But today we're upside down, -1%, we can't find people in society who reflect the beautiful shine of Islam, and they enter into Islam just like these two hadith I've mentioned to you. And if it comes into our heart that, look, I need to have a desire regularly, daily, to look out for and fulfill the rightful and permissible desire of another person. This was the first hadith, wasn't it? And this is the pain and the feel and the regard we should have in our hearts for other people. Not is he a Muslim, does he follow Islam? Any human being, fulfill their good desires. And then to fulfill each other's desires, we should respect each other's likings and dislikings and cares and wants and problems, so we can give for each other and make effort for each other. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. May Allah Ta'ala give us all such lives, and may Allah Ta'ala make our dhikr successful upon successful. Not just tick tick tapping the beads, but our heart should change. Dil badal jai. Our heart should change from within and become human beings. Ameen.